All right, cool. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, are you familiar with the online browser game, kind of, GeoGuessr?
I am familiar with GeoGuessr.
I love GeoGuessr.
Thank you for not saying
Blazeball. I have no idea what Blazeball is. I've had to mute Blazeball.
Yeah, I find talk about Blazeball pretty annoying, actually.
Yeah.
It's not fair, but...
I don't doubt that people are getting enjoyment about it. I don't know what it is, and at this point, I'm afraid to ask. And also, I don't want to have it explained to me. I missed the boat and I'm fine missing out. No, I'm talking about GeoGuessr.
Yeah, GeoGuessr. I know GeoGuessr.
Yeah, so what this does is it uses the Google Street View API, and it will take you to a random position, on a street somewhere in the world, and just by looking at that street view, you are supposed to, you are to guess where you are. So you have like a map of the world, and you drop a pin, and your score is given based on how close you are. And you know, sometimes it's pretty easy to intuit. Like it's hard to, you know, say exactly why, but like there are certain like heuristics you can go on, like what side of the road are people driving on, etc. But it's a good time. It's like a little Carmen San Diego kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm into GeoGuessr. No need to sell me on it.
Okay.
I'm in favor.
Just for people who are listening, GeoGuessr is still around. So what I've done is I have taken a large part of our budget and I have gone to Fiverr. And I have paid people to take games from our database and stand in a particular place holding a sign that says the name of the game. And we're going to GeoGuessr.
Oh, so we're going to see the game and then we have to guess where they're at.
I mean, the guessing where they're at is, you know, one of those, you know, that's secondary. This is just a way for us to, you know, A, pollute the data pool and leave a lot of questions for anybody using Google Street View. Why are they holding a sign that says Decap Attack? That's weirdly threatening.
Yeah. Yeah. Willie Beamish County. So this is basically just letting it do a random place and then we're just gonna choose what's there.
Right. We're gonna see if one of the signs is there. So
let's
randomize.
Okay,
Gary, it's me. Okay.
Oh,
look
at you.
Yeah, it's me standing out in front of my house. Oh boy.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
Are you fivering yourself with our own budget?
Okay. I know what this looks like. I know that this looks like money laundering.
Yeah, this is very laundering, dude.
I have a perfectly reasonable explanation, which I can provide for you as soon as I open the Discord window. Okay, so I disconnected. Woo! We're playing Resident Evil Zero, guys.
Cole popped off. I don't know if that if I was still recording during
No, you weren't recording. I popped off of Discord and then I said, "Woo, that was a close call." I said, "We're playing Resident Evil Zero, guys."
Oh, were you still recording?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was recording on my side. Sorry.
No, it's a hey. You know what? Fuck off. It's all right. Hey.
Oh.
I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering. Abject Suffering, we're going to give up talking about this game just like you would give up playing it.
Yeah, probably. And this week we are talking about a game in a series that we love, a game that we hate in a series that we love. This is Resident Evil Zero. This is a demand, a patron demand from Cassandra. Thank you, Cassandra, who says, "I've heard Gary rant about this game a lot, and I wanted to give him a platform to talk about how much Rebecca Chambers sucks."
Well, this is going to be, I imagine, more of a Cole rant because you played this much more recently than I have.
I have, yes. I also dislike this game quite a bit. I think that it is like just a fundamentally flawed and broken product that is not fun to play.
Yes. And I think the premise is fundamentally flawed. Like, I want to get all that stuff out of the way. Yeah. I bought this on Switch, but because I bought all the Resident Evil games that are available on Switch.
Well, it's really hard not to get RE0 if you're going to get a physical copy of this, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. There's two tacks I had in mind for this episode.
Okay.
One, explaining, just as a thing, this doesn't mean we'll never do this for WoF. I don't want to, mm-hmm. but who knows what the future will bring.
Right.
Just know that might show up. But I wanted to explain briefly what's wrong with Resident Evil Zero. And then also I wanted to fuck around with the idea of what you, Cole Ross, would do if you were given a task and had to team up with a Chili Pepper like Rebecca Chambers had to.
Run as far away as they could.
Yeah, just you guys are
pick
stuck
a compass
in a situation.
Heading and go.
Yeah, like you are stuck on an elevator, uh-huh. and there are a bunch of orphans that are on a third floor business fire, mm-hmm. and you have to save them. And your only teammate is a Chili Pepper, like how Rebecca had to do that,
like Billy.
You know, yeah, how she just met a freestanding Chili Pepper.
Yeah.
You know, team up with the Chili Pepper.
I have to team up with the Chili Pepper to get him to the to get him to the show.
Yeah, that could be it too.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was going to go in for slightly higher stakes than like, what if the Chili Peppers didn't have their third bassist or whatever the fuck, you know?
They only need one bassist. Okay. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Backup bass.
Gary, what the fuck are you talking about?
The Funky Monks enjoy the low end.
Gary, the Funky Monks?
Yeah, you don't like don't what the fuck are you talking about to me when you don't even know the Chili Peppers nickname, the Funky Monks.
I don't know that.
The Funky Monks.
Are they? In what way are they monks, Gary?
Let's find out. They have a song called Funky Monks.
Okay.
And the documentary about them is called Funky Monks.
Okay.
God, how much would you have to pay me to watch that fucking documentary? Ooh, 60 minutes filmed in black and white.
Ah.
No.
I think I smell a Patreon stretch goal. Yeah. The last time I complained about the Red Hot Chili, or the last time I joked about the Red Hot Chili Peppers on Twitter. I know. You're walking all of us into this. I made a joke because I remember just like a weird Red Hot Chili Peppers lyric that was just not great. No, the lyric was, me oh my oh, she and I oh, freer than a bird because we're rocking Ohio.
Sure.
Which yeah. I made a tweet that said they wrote that lyric and they're still allowed to be a band. And I think that there's a certain amount of like 2020 or COVID brain that it is happening. People feel like they felt maybe like they were locked in a room with my tweet and had to engage with it. And I learned just kind of like some flattering facts about RHCP, that like they do a lot of charity work and stuff like that. And there are a lot of people who have like family members who have positive associations with it. I am not like taking aim at you if you are fond of the quadruplet me oh my oh, she and I oh.
Rockin' Ohio.
Rockin' Ohio, yeah.
I've never liked that lyric. I have more like the bing bong ching chong bing bong bongy chongy pinga de pongy lyrics
from the same song.
Yeah, from around the world.
Uh-huh.
Impeccable. I think that it is okay to make fun of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I think it's okay to make fun of anybody who does charity.
Right.
It's fine. Like, it's not a get out of being made fun of.
No.
Thing. If I were St. Peter,
uh-huh.
you know, maybe I would still take them to Pepper Heaven.
But if I were St. Pepper.
Them. Yeah, if I was St. Pepper at the Funky Gates, uh-huh. I would want to know about their charity work.
Uh-huh.
But in terms of making fun of their lyrics, that's a non sequitur.
Here's the thing. So it's kind of like I can still make fun of Guy Fieri's style because it's ridiculous.
It's clownish.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And I know that he's like he's trapped in that because that's the way he made his debut. And I have been made aware of all of the gay weddings he's officiated and how much he has done for very good causes that I didn't know about in the past. I can still make fun of him.
At the end of the day, it's still a dumb shirt.
Yes.
And with the Chili Peps, at the end of the day, it's still a dumb lack of a shirt.
And you lack know? Of pants. And that's not where a sock goes.
No, that's not where a sock goes. You don't have, like, if it was, it'd be very scary if you just had penises instead of toes. That's some Resident Evil shit. But yeah. Like, yeah, I don't care for that. But I didn't want to just talk about the peps, even though
No. I want to put in one more thing. I also want to put skin in the game. We do charitable work. We use our platform to gather money for causes that we believe in. That doesn't put us above being made fun of. Make fun of me. That's fine.
Man, especially if we come out and do a live show with socks on our dicks.
Yeah.
Like, I would expect to get roasted.
Yes.
Like who are those guys with who are those chubos with the schlittles who are like on stage? Like, you know, there's any making fun of that the Red Hot Chili Peppers get, they've earned. Like, they asked for it. Like, it's just like, hey, we're the Funky Monks. We wrote Sir Psycho Sexy. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
And it's weird that they decided to put a chili pep in the Resident Evil series. Like, what if Rebecca Chambers, you know, probably, you know, one of my least favorite Resident Evil characters, decided to team up with a chili pepper. Like, you run into a chili pepper in the wild and you decide like, hey, me and this chili pep are going to go fight leeches.
Yes, we are going to go fight leeches in a direct prequel to the original Resident Evil that also... And like an aspect of this that I do like is I am an unrepentant fan of the complicated mythology of the way the different viruses go. So I'm like, fuck yeah. Show me the leech obsessed guy who made the T virus and had his discovery stolen by Birkin. I'm fine with that. I don't like the fights. But like, I don't just make the lore as dumb as possible, please. It's super weird that people decide to draw the line here, that this is where it goes too far.
Well, it should have been Code Veronica.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to draw the line, like replaying Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3, like those are pretty grounded games, actually.
Yeah.
Like, you know, comparatively. And then Code Veronica is where you get like, there's an ancient bug queen who lives under the Arctic.
Yeah,
and Wesker, you know, can do backflips and like has vampire powers and shit. Yeah. Like that's the Rubicon. Like if you wanted to do one, this is to me a Rubicon because I think that the idea of a Resident Evil prequel is kind of inherently dumb.
Yeah,
because it's so. First of all, this Rebecca Chambers, who knows all the shit. Like, if you knew all about these leeches, it makes Resident Evil 1 not make any fucking sense.
Yeah, because she is confused. She's, you know, she needs help.
Yeah. And she's seen way wilder shit. Like, in Resident Evil 1, it's just zombies, you know, and one big snake. Here, it's like everything from the animal kingdom, but big.
Yeah, a gigantic bat, like walking men made of leeches, which I actually think is kind of a good enemy design.
See, you like this game. It's
coming God through. Damn it! No, it's not there! I think that there are elements of this game that are salvageable. There are good enemy encounters that I think can be there. I just think that there's a fundamental brokenness, like, at the mechanical heart of it. Yeah.
It feels like to me, so it's like what the thing that I came across on this or I was thinking about is that like the fluff and the Resident Evil is a mechanical game to me. It is not purely a mechanical game.
Right.
Like I am not just happy to do tank controls in a location and shoot stuff and manage resources. Like I care about the where's and what for's and why's.
Same.
And all that stuff got really dumb for me in this game. Like I don't really like Rebecca as a character. I really don't like Billy Cohen as a character.
Right.
I don't think that I'm with you on the antagonism of this. Like, I think it's not the worst thing about it, but I don't think that it's particularly interested.
Wait, when you say antagonism, do you mean the, the Queen Leech who is mimicking James Marcus?
Yeah, the opera-obsessed leech enthusiast. like, the guy who sings opera.
It's important to have hobbies, Gary. Come on.
I think that's not cool. I think it's just like, wow, this has ruined the cool Rubicon. Like, yes, it's wild.
I don't care, but I don't think it's cool. I like that it's not cool.
I want it to be out there, but also kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like it's just a little bit cool, like not like cool, like a movie would be cool, but like Resident Evil cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Birkin is cool. Like Umbrella is cool. The family in Resident Evil 7 is cool. You know, or even like dumb shit in 6. Like 6 is largely a mechanical experience to me.
Yeah.
But like that to me is like dumb cool. This is this feels like it's not mechanically good, and I don't like the characters, and I don't like what they're up against, and it's a prequel, so it doesn't matter. It's just revealing history. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many strikes against this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we have a different relationship with the cool to dorky ratio here. I think that, I think that ultimately, like, I have, like, the same problems with this being a prequel. Like, I don't like, you know, if this was just, like, different people who happen to be, you know, in a, you know, in this situation, you know, if there was like less continuity, like if at the end of this, the camera panned over and it was the Alpha team, helicopter landing or whatever. It's like, and then now, you know, what happened right before. The fact that there's continuity sucks. Billy Cohen's storyline sucks. The fact that he is this former soldier who was like being tried for war crimes, but he didn't actually do it, man. Like, that is just an unnecessary cliche that I really, really dislike. So, like, I think that I'm just, that there are like individual parts of this that I give more of a pass to, that, you know, while still recognizing that there are just mechanical flaws in this product.
I think that in a general sense, you are more into the lore behind Umbrella than I am. Mm-hmm. Like, I liked Umbrella more when it was a little bit simpler.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that, like, just make it as you know, convoluted as possible as an appreciation.
Yeah.
So much. There's not very much time in which it spends there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it goes to like, it's all pretty normal up through three. Code Veronica in this game are like origins.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like Code Veronica is like, it concerns itself with like the founding families. Here it's Marcus. Yeah. Yeah, Code Veronica is the Ashfords, and then 5 brings in Spencer in a big way.
Yeah, yeah. And that, those, each of those, this is my least favorite of even those two.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of lore. Like, mm-hmm. I think that the Ashford twins are more compelling to me. And then 5, which I replayed pretty recently, you know, the story stuff in that is still, it turns into a different kind of pulp. Mm-hmm. But that kind of works for me as well. I don't like the extreme makeover idiot, but the stuff, you know, the idea like controlling Jill and all the stuff with Wesker and the personal revenge between Chris and Wesker, that kind of works on me.
Same.
And then 6, I need to replay. I don't remember very much of 6.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, this out of the three things. So I guess my point is, I'm not entirely against them talking about the families. I think this is just a really limp expression of it.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Like, there could have been a better way.
Mm-hmm.
To deal with this, you know, bring in the leeches.
Yeah. I just like this whole thing ends up being like, you know, again, it's weird that we're dwelling on this, but like in talking about Devil May Cry, we have addressed like the weird limbo that Capcom was in, where they recognized that they had a hit in the Resident Evil series, and are like, ah, shit, we need to like really make as much hay as we can while the sun is out. And they started a bunch of different projects. Like, Doki Doki fact about this, like, the original iteration of this began on the N64. You know, where they had the concept of, you know, doing the, you know, switching back and forth, kind of as an expression of the zapping system or whatever. And it stayed in development hell for years and years and years, until finally they started the initiative where they were working on the GameCube, and they thought, let's take that and use it, when they probably should have just left it in the scrap heap. Said like, you know, they should have made it like the version, oh gosh, like Knuckles Chaotix, where like, yeah, we had the idea where Sonic and Tails were going to be connected by a tether, but that wasn't fun. And then they said, oh, well, we'll just make that into Knuckles Chaotix and still use that. I'm like, no, you shouldn't have done that.
No, it's not a good idea.
Yeah.
If you're going to do a sequel to Resident Evil, I think that doing it, you know, like you said, this happened to another group of people.
Yeah.
You know, it makes no sense for it to happen to people we know there. I would have, like, you know, eventually they start going, like, back in history with this shit. Like, let me pitch you on a Resident Evil sequel that takes place, like, actually in, like, the 1700s or something.
Okay.
You know, isn't that, there we go. Instead of this just being like, hey, all this stuff was happening under everyone's nose like yesterday, which is dumb. You know, the outbreak was a creeping series of dread in Resident Evil 1. What if, like, while researching this shit on microfiche, Jill sees that in the 1700s, there was a baron who found a super leech or a plagueis or whatever. I know this is not canon, whatever. This would be a bold reimagining.
Yeah.
And we go through and we do like a version of survival horror, but with medieval weaponry, with like zombies in an actual old timey, like medieval village.
Yeah. What you're talking about is like, kind of what they did there, the initial concept for, Onimusha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then they didn't. They just made Onimusha.
Right. Yeah.
I'm telling you, like, that would have been a cool idea to do this. Like, that could have been Resident Evil Zero.
Yeah.
Here's where they you know, Jurassic Parked the viruses out of leeches or what have you.
Yeah. You know, they're just kind of the initial concept that they had laying around that ultimately came around in RE5. Like, oh, yes, this is the progenitor virus. This is where we found it. You know, maybe don't make it that, you know, in the middle of Africa, because that's problematic.
That doesn't age super well, especially when one of the properties of the virus makes people dress up like their ancestors.
Yeah.
There's like the lore note where it's like everybody is dressing up like witch doctors now. There's like the one sane guy. I read that and I was like, oh, man.
No. Yeah. Stop.
I'm looking forward to dunking on that. We do that.
Yeah, we do have that coming up, don't we?
Yeah. Just
yeah. No, like just so what you're kind of talking about would be like an Assassin's Creed kind of RE, and I'd be here for it, you know? Like could, like, that would justify the slow pace of play a little bit too, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, you reload a crossbow. Like, there hasn't really been a survival horror in any other time period, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. I'm scanning and like, like most of it has just been like ancient Japan kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but nothing like another time period, even like colonial America.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool. Like, yeah. I guess that is Assassin's Creed, but just make it into a genre that's fun to play.
Yeah, I'm not saying
it's like Assassin's Creed, but you know, not.
I like
not.
Assassin's Creed, Gary. No, and I'm not saying Assassin's Creed as a dunk or a burn either. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I meant that as a positive thing. Like, okay, yeah, like making bring a historical aspect to this.
It'd be like but like lore, you know, with the Resident Evil lore, and it would quarantine it from. You know, the modern lore.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have this feeling of like this absolutely wild train nonsense with giant bats and shit happened literally the day before this subdued, scary zombie mansion.
Right.
And nobody knows. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody gives a shit about it.
Yeah.
So
I'm trying to look. gosh. Yeah. So like Umbrella began in the 1960s, but there could even be like research that they had done that
maybe.
Went before. Yeah.
What about swinging 60s, like like Umbrella? You get the spinning umbrella, like the awesome, and then just like, you know, zombies are my bag.
Yeah, baby.
The progenitor virus is my bag, baby. What if we can get this cell to shag with this other cell?
Ooh.
You know, we can watch.
Cool.
Because biologists are the ultimate perverts.
Oh, yeah, no. So they've got their own little telescope to the microscopic world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Microscopic fucks.
You know? Are we going to talk about the mechanical problems with this at all? Because I want to.
Oh, sure.
That's my biggest gripe with this.
Yeah, I know that you're like, I just need to get my lore piece out of the way.
No, that's
Let's
fine.
Talk yeah. about the mechanical problems.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't know. When you have this kind of RE game with, you know, there's kind of the classical kind of puzzle box spaces or what have you. You really desperately need the item boxes, you know, like inventory management, making runs back and forth between safe rooms and where you pick up kind of a puzzle input and take it to where it needs to go. Like, yes, you do need to economize. You have to make sure you have enough healing items and ammo. Like, that is absolutely a core part of the game. But the fact that you have two characters, there is no item box that'll transport stuff. It turns the entire game into basically one long running chicken, fox, and hen problem, or chicken, fox, and corn problem, rather.
Well, they can all travel together. It's way more of a supply and logistics game.
Yeah.
Than any other Resident Evil game. Like, it's a lot of times you just have chickens or hens, but boy, do you have to move them a long distance.
Yeah. You end up having to do. It's basically it's basically like Death Stranding, but bad. Like, I need to get this hook shot from the back of the train to the front of the train. Like, how many like relay stops am I going to have to do sending this up and down dumb waiters? Right.
the idea was it was supposed to be like more realistic, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, because it was always silly in Resident Evil that I couldn't put something down, because it's one of the first things I learned how to do in real life.
Yeah, yeah. And you do it by accident most of the time. Yeah.
All the time. Like, I was just very surprised. Like, oh, like, you know, Chris can't do this, but I can.
Yeah.
Like, Chris is a better man than me in every other way. But the idea you can put something down is fine, but it is so artificial and weird to just have like your hub area of the mansion, you know, just with the floor glittering with miscellaneous, you know, just like, you know, cranks and switches and ammos and guns you don't want.
Yeah.
And then just kind of walking through and trying to figure out which one to pick up.
Yeah.
With your two idiots. Like, that was so annoying and dumb.
And it's like, oh, no, it's on the wrong idiot. And I sent, you know, I sent that person all the way to the other side of the mansion. I've got to get them back across. Yeah.
Yep.
This is just so much backtracking enforced. And that leads to resource problems, especially because resources are still limited. Like, it's not like you're getting drops or anything. Yeah.
Yep. And the way I remember it, again, it's been a while since I played this, was that there was very, very few incidents of taking advantage of having two people.
No.
Which, like, being able to instant zap seems like that would be your main mechanical hook, right? Like, hey, I can switch between these two people. There's going to be enemies that do grab attacks where I'm incentivized to, like, quickly switch to the other person to do something. There's going to be more traps and things like that. There's going to be at least those, you know, more things where we each have to hit a switch. You know?
And, like, some of that's there, but it's incredibly awkward and artificial.
And infrequent, you know, if I recall, like, I remember playing a lot of it with my two people together and it just making like a real huge inventory tax to the already taxed inventory. Like, like, which person do I want to pick this up with? You know, and there's an element of that with RE5 as well, like the later games that go in on co-op, but having another player control the thing just totally changes and makes it work.
Yeah.
You know, just fine.
Well, and also that's like a more action. It's an action-y kind of thing, you know, like moving around is a little bit less of an issue in that game. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. This is just, it is, it's weird. Like this is my least favorite mainline Resident Evil game.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
Yeah. Like definitely. And for me, like, it is just weird that it succeeds on so few levels. Like, if I think back to what I like about Resident Evil Zero, it's the train.
Yeah, and that's the first fourth of the game. You like very quickly get off of the train.
Yep, the train's good though. Everything else though, I'm like,
no, I mean, like, so the train crashes into an umbrella training, you know, train to training, into an umbrella training facility.
Why they named the facility that.
Well, yeah, yes, of course.
It's for training, like, it's for when they want to crash train.
The building got trained. But guess what? The training facility is a big ornate, you know, kind of gothic Victorian mansion kind of deal. Cool. Okay. And then you go to a lab. You go to a lab at the end. Like, cool. I enjoyed going to there's a little bit of a crossover with areas that you get to in RE2. You take a little tram out there, you run to the end of like a hallway, and there's a tyrant scare as it comes in behind you, which is a neat little set piece. Most of the interest is in the train.
Yeah. And after that, then it just becomes mostly dumb, I think.
Yes.
It's a bummer because this, you know, this came out at the same time as the RE1 remake, which we talked about. That's a masterpiece.
Yep.
You know, no exaggeration. Yeah, that's one of the best like remakes in video games.
Yep.
And this probably did, you know, that not selling well, but being phenomenal. This not selling well, but being mediocre. Like, it just became a very confused time for Capcom. Like, I like it because it necessitated RE4. I dislike it because it necessitated RE5 and 6.
What would have been, you know, what would have been great is if there could have been like concurrent, like two concurrent streams. Like, imagine what if there was an audience that was found for both strands of Resident Evil, where you know, like, this and Code Veronica didn't come and just kind of like pound nails into the coffin of the puzzle box space. We're kind of getting that now with the, you know, kind of like the disparity between the remakes being very action based, and RE7 and possibly RE8 getting to, you know, getting back to the puzzle box space kind of things. But like, we've kind of been, you know, denied that because it shifted to RE4 for a while. I like that strain, but I don't know. I have so much affection in my heart for the puzzle box spaces, and they went away, and I blame RE0 for killing it.
Yeah. It's the bad, you know, even if, you know, the common story is that RE1 remake did that because it sold poorly.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good ass game. Maybe mm-hmm. it sold poorly because people didn't trust you after Code Veronica and this.
Yeah.
You know, because Code Veronica is also very disappointing when I revisited it. Like, yeah. It's not as bad as this, but boy, it's not a great game.
Yep.
It's a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's also, I love the hybrid, like, you know, just a, like the Resident Evil 2 remake, which is more action-y, but is also...
Yeah.
Like puzzle boxy. Mm-hmm. Like that's a great hybrid. Like I feel like that.
It's such a good balance.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. They figured out something very special with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The RE2 remake is a miracle. The more that I think back at it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's up there with the RE1 remake.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, in terms of, just, you know, the greatest remakes of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that there was a Resident Evil movie called Biohazard 4D Executor?
What?
It's not executioner, which I thought. It's 4D executor.
Oh, so they're just so like that. They're
like an estate.
Yeah, they're dispersing. They're dispersing inheritances.
Yeah, but on a level that we can't comprehend.
Ooh.
You know, like we're 2D executors. Like we don't really understand.
No, we're on a different level here. So if like 4D executor, was that like a theme park installation? Was it like Honey, I Shrunk the Audience?
It's a 20-minute film. Yes, it's a theme park.
Huh.
Wow, a 20-minute film at a theme park.
It can also
be seen in movie theaters in smaller booths. What do you mean by smaller booths?
Like a little Nickelodeon? like a spank box at a strip club?
Yeah, you can do a peep show and just be like, just putting quarter into quarter after it. To see the rest of 4D Executor from Digital Amuse.
Oh, it's set in Raccoon City.
Yeah, with Klaus.
Oh.
Yeah, I bet you this isn't great.
We have Klaus and his men. Roger, Ed, Robert, Norman. I understand. So it's for a Japanese audience, so maybe those names are not as anonymous as they sound to us.
Yeah. It's a real, like... It's a fantasy football league.
Yeah.
That had to fight some zombies is what it sounds like.
Yeah. Huh. So I want to see what the 4D elements are, but I'm not really seeing.
I think it's just that it's a theme park.
Maybe. Thing. Yeah.
Man, I miss theme parks. I watched a show on Netflix mm-hmm. that Emma introduced me called Love on the Spectrum. Which is a dating show of autistic people.
Okay.
Which I did not think that I would like, but actually loved. And it was like really charismatic and compelling.
Are both people, do they have autism spectrum disorders or?
It's following like a bunch of different people's kind of journey into dating.
Uh-huh.
And they do tend to date people with autism, but autism is very varied, you know?
Yeah.
So that can mean different things. So there are people who are having a really rough time and people who are a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. It's very charming.
Yeah.
Funny show. But they did a couple of things in it. They went to like a boardwalk that was next to like some rides, and then they went to a convention.
Okay.
And I lost my mind. Like I was just like, I gotta go. Like
I need to be around people. Yeah.
Yeah. I miss this specific energy really badly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
put me in a big gross room with a bunch of people, please.
I know. I need to smell a nerd. Like so badly.
I need to see the crimes that are done to the shared restroom here.
Yeah. I need to see them, comment them, and participate in them. Yeah. Like I need to have a 4D experience.
Yeah. Like I don't need a lot of it. I really don't.
Oh, no.
But
no.
No. There was a certain amount of power that I had in being a non-participant in most aspects of life, but that's because it was a choice. And now that it's enforced, my anti-authority kind of stripe is just really like bucking against that.
Yeah. I would love to go to I got a birthday coming up real soon and my girlfriend's like, what do you want to do for your birthday? And I'm like, mm-hmm. nothing. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, that's not how I answered, because that'd be a really mean way to answer.
No. There's stuff that you two can do together.
Yeah. The truth is, it doesn't matter what I want to do.
Right.
For my birthday. Yeah. You know, because my options are jack and shit.
Yeah.
So, that's not quite true. I'm just being cranky.
No.
Yeah. Treat myself to my annual replay of Resident Evil Zero and Lords of the Fallen.
Some C+ games for a C+ birthday.
Yeah, C+ birthday and an F- year. Thanks for recommending this.
Yeah, thank you Cassandra. It was good to talk about this weird episode of this show, focused, but we both have things to sit
down and do research of this, and I was like, wait, why am I doing research? Like, it was very weird. I'm like, I need to read interviews with the people who made this. It's Abject Suffering. Like,
yeah,
what am I doing? There's a real identity crisis, way more so than when people do backdoor wafts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was very, very confusing to me as an experience of approach.
So there's not much game facts. So there's too much game facts, but all of it's very standard, because, you know, it's part of a long running beloved series. I came across the plot analysis, and God, I just want to read that again. That is such a good fucking fact, man.
It's extremely good.
Yeah, but there's one here. This is a fact written by Chandug, I think. Let's see here. Something
spelt 282K.
All these are so long, but there's a section toward the bottom with memorable quotes. You've played this. It was a long time ago, but if they're memorable, you would know the contact, right? So number one, we'll see which one of us is gonna die.
Who could forget?
Yeah, who could forget? When Marcus says that, as he is as he's being beaten by Billy and Becky. Fuck's sake, man.
Billy and Becky.
Number two, officially, Lieutenant Billy Cohen is dead.
I actually do remember them saying that.
Because it's a dumb plot twist.
it's a really dumb plot twist.
Yeah. That's irrelevant. We must make sure no knowledge of this gets out. Destroy the train completely. Okay. It's really just a description of what happens. Yeah. Their superior combat training should make them the perfect test subjects.
Okay.
Yeah. Wesker says that as he's watching them go through the facility. Time to die, doctor.
Yep,
Wesker is absolutely the most evil man in this series, which Wesker is pretty evil.
Yeah, Wesker's a real jerk.
Yeah, so I just wanted to lay that out there. Not only were those lines included in the game, but taken out of context, they're funny. But somebody said, I need to memorialize all of these. Like, these are the most notable quotables that I'm going to hone in on.
It's actually really hard for me to think of memorable lines from Resident Evil games outside of the first one and the fourth one.
Yeah.
Even though I love 2 and 3,
mm-hmm.
You know, in terms of quotableness, like 4
obviously
wins. Like 4 is like chock full of great quotes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they're the memes, Master of Unlocking, Jill Sandwich or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the first one, which are all, you know, have their place.
Yeah.
This guy's legal section has the allowed-unallowed list. as the just to say that, you know, you can only put this on planetdreamcast.com/Resident Evil or rebiohazard.com.
Oh geez.
So
I did
not get this from Planet Dreamcast.
I'm gonna repost this somewhere else and see if they come at me. What if I did that? I was sued into oblivion. Yeah. Like, oh god.
Well, listen, Cole.
Okay.
This guide is made by Adnan Javed, better known as Chandug. On the Game Facts message board, this guide is just for people to be free as a source, etc. You understand that if you're thinking about using this guide for profitable purposes, then know this. I have a very qualified lawyer in my family. Get the picture? So don't do it.
No. Oh, boy. He'll ruin us.
I'm in no way associated with Capcom, and this guide is unofficial. Resident Evil/Biohazard is a registered trademark of Capcom. Capcom are like gods. Respect them.
I like the developer a lot. That seems a bit excessive to me, but okay. Yeah.
I would love to the family lawyer. Can you imagine if that happened, where like you were the Oh man, there's also closing moments.
Yeah, no, I saw this. I was gonna cut in. I was gonna cut in as you were doing your thing. Oh God,
it's really good.
God, okay. Yeah. How do we want to do this? Because all of this is fantastic.
Is it the thanks as well? Because he does thank characters from the game. He thanks Steve for being in the series.
Cool. Thanks,
and
Steve.
thanks Billy for being in the series, because he doesn't think he could have stayed sane if it was only Becky's game.
He thanks God for making us all and giving him the power to do his work.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
More prayers at the end of Game Facts, please.
Yeah. Thanks, Wesker, for being evil. Thanks, Marcus, for being the queen.
Yeah. Thank Randy for not getting mad at me when I did a bad thing, which I won't tell.
Don't be such a tease, again, Chanduke.
Again, Randy for clearing my name for a little honest mistake. Not telling either.
Isn't this
Randy is the repairer of reputations in this relationship. Like, he's the Randy of reputations.
Yeah. Fuck. Oh, Jesus.
It's but, wild, man.
Closing moments. Wesker, all the way. Steve and Chris, second best. Jill is superior than anyone. Nemesis is my best friend. Marcus can kiss my butt. Thank God Birkin is dead. Sherry should be too. Brock Lesnar is God. Referring to an MMA fighter.
Yeah.
This has been fun. We'll do it sometime again soon. For now, it's curtains, I tells ya. Coitins. Peace. Love and friendship to all. Enjoy your lives while they last. Bye.
Bye. And this is a big mic drop ending to this game pack. Yeah.
It's been a while since we had something that good.
Thanks, Marcus, for being the queen. Yeah. His email address is returnofthemaniac@hotmail.com.
Oh shit,
this
maniac's
guy is wild,
back.
Dude, we got a real joker on our situation on our hands here. Chandug is the ultimate joker.
We've got a real joker in this situation. Hello, police, I'd like to report a joker.
A joker in the
Where?
Situation
just in the situation
hello,
generally.
Hello 911, the sexual romance is over. He gives Resident Evil 5 a 10 out of 10. This guy's not just an old school.
No,
man.
No.
Wow, he's
just celebrates the entire catalog.
except for Becky and Sherry Birkin, the fucking idiot.
Ah, I wonder why he hates
stupid
them.
Little girl.
Anyway, if you would like to support the show, is there anything else?
I'm cruising through the rest of his facts, and he does thank God. Again, I think that's just the thing.
Okay.
And the one for Resident Evil 4, he also thanks his hands.
For typing?
My hands, I can say without a doubt that I may be one of the fastest typers alive. Since I wrote this enter thing out in about less than 2 days, I rule. So.
Cool. Yeah, no, he does. He does a bunch. He did a fact for Resident Evil Gaiden, which is a game that does not get any love. I don't know. I haven't seen his review. There's interesting stuff in Resident Evil Gaiden. I don't know if I'd call it good, but
I played around with that. I didn't really get that much.
Game facts for for allowing people like me. Huh. Cool.
Yeah, this Joker.
Good job, Chandug.
Good joking. Good jokering.
Well jokered, good sir.
Yeah, you're like in a good and a very good joker to you. The Joker.
This week I will be reviewing Being the Joker. Okay.
the one star. This is nice. Here Randy makes another appearance in his Dino Crisis 2.
Okay, what did Randy do?
Thing.
Is there any more clarity?
Especially to God. Well, here he's combined two of his points. Thanks especially to God for giving me such fast hands to write all this in about a week and a half. You rule. So he's condensed that down, his hand and his God point into one point. He also says we rule for reading it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks to my friend Cad and Randy for keeping me sane during the hours of internet insanery. Buzz.
What?
So yeah, we don't really know what Randy did yet. I bet you if we dug through this whole thing in kind of a her story way, we could figure out what Randy covered up.
Put it all together.
Yeah. Put together the story.
Huh. You know? Yeah. I'm looking at his reviews. Oh, you reviewed the PS2 The Thing game, huh? Gave it a 9. That's way too generous.
His God things at the end of each one are all different. Like in the review for Parasite Eve 2, he thanks God for making the whole world like it is today. And a special thanks for making me, lol. Wink.
He wrote that in 2004. Hey, God, yeah. Thanks for giving us 2004.
It's very weird. And thank the hands, as always. We don't thank our hands enough. I mean, it happens at the end of Bluebeard. You know, it seems like it should happen at the the end of every podcast.
Yeah. So let's take a moment. Everybody look down.
I love that you get to figure out how fast he typed all of these. Like Metal Gear Solid, my hands, I can say without a doubt that I may be one of the fastest typers alive since I wrote this enter thing in about less than 2 days.
Every time does he say enter instead of entire?
Yeah. I don't think I've seen him write the word entire at all.
Hey, you piece of shit.
Like, come on, man.
Wow, he was very prolific over the course of a couple of years and then dropped off. His most recent thing that I see here, he reviewed Resident Evil Nemesis version 0.00 blah 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 in 2005. So he probably has like a mortgage now or something. Huh.
Yeah. Well, good on ya.
Good on ya, buddy.
Goop on ya, Grinch. So thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Patreon.com/DuckFeedTV, as we mentioned.
Yep. Get extra episodes of this show. You can coming up on damn near 100 of them, Gary.
Damn near.
Damn near. Damn straight.
Damn near autonoma. you can also support your boys. You can leave ratings, reviews on various platforms.
Mm-hmm.
We like that. And what can they finally do?
And finally, like we always say, at least this wasn't everything to Guppy. Good night.
Good night.